So here we are for another In the Hot Seat, and today it really is an In the Hot Seat, isn't it, Elizabeth? It's a really hot day.
33 degrees out there.
But lovely for you to give us the time today. And just to explain who Elizabeth is, she is one of our programme directors. We've worked together extensively over the last 2 or 3 years. Fantastic to have you here. Elizabeth, can you just tell people a little bit about what you do?
Yeah, I think I'd probably be described as a behavioural specialist these days. I also have a particular interest in teams and teams thriving. So I have quite a strong background in working with teams that are in difficulties, teams that need to work more collaboratively. And I guess my third big area of expertise has been a passion since my 20s, which is personal development. So over the years, I've studied a lot of different psychotherapeutic and dynamic techniques. So I'm an NLP trainer, neuro-linguistic programming. I've studied transactional analysis, I've done a lot of different psychometrics, and I'm always curious, you know, how do we get a deeper insight into ourselves so that we can grow and that we can grow the people around us.
And I think this is what I love about working with you, is that continuous curiosity and spirit of learning from your own perspective. But one thing I really want to talk to you about, because I know it's a passion of yours as well, and that is women in leadership today. Mm. And it can sometimes be a contentious subject. And I know there's quite a bit of press in the last year or so about how things are improving and that women are smashing through the glass ceiling. Can you just share from your perspective whether you think that's actually true? Women are getting invited more to the top table or earning their space more at the top table in business?
I don't think they are actually. I think there have been welcome bits of progress, but that phrase you used there is one that's really interesting. Earning their place at the top table. And I think that's right at the root of what we've got to do when we work with women, because I think in many women there's a huge amount of imposter syndrome, and they feel that they have to outperform the men in order to earn their place at the top table. And in fact, what that does is it drives women into what I call superwoman. So they try to push and push and push. And what they're doing is they're really operating out of a masculine paradigm. So instead of being themselves and bringing their natural traits, which are desperately needed in business, what they're doing is they're trying to join in and use the masculine paradigms of power in order to get to the top. And I really think it's time that we stop doing that as women. We need to really come from our own sense of power.
I think that's so true. I was really lucky to work for a couple of years with Anita Roddick, the founder of The Body Shop, many years ago. And I remember her story. She was saying about when she was trying to get funding to start The Body Shop, first time she showed up, she was turned down by the bank. And then her husband, Gordon, had a word with her and said, look, don't take your kids, wear a suit, dress like a man, use the kind of language and rhetoric that men use, and you will it. And actually she did the second time around. She went, but she had to change almost her physical being as well as her psychological state to be able to play in that arena in order to be taken seriously. And I think that's really tragic that we're not playing to our own personal strengths.
And you know, for myself as well, I mean, I started my first 10 years of career, I worked in the nuclear sector, so it was heavily male dominated and heavily STEM, as you can imagine. And it's interesting when I look back, because unconsciously, I suppose, I adopted what Trini and Susanna at the time would have called the lots of navy blue and dark trouser suits. You know, I tend to wear lots of dark trouser suits, and, you know, flat shoes, etc., etc. And, you know, in many ways, and that was an unconscious thing, I wasn't thinking about that, but we do need to actually be ourselves, and we need to get there in our own way. And in actual fact, there's a huge amount at the moment around diversity and inclusion. But part of diversity, the diversity that we need in business, is we need more women, we need more feminine energy, we need more a more collaborative approach to moving forward. And so I think it's really vital that we have more women who can see that that's what they bring, and that we encourage them to step forward, but to do it in their way.
And have you noticed the power of language as well, as Elizabeth? Just as last week, really funny, I've been called bossy, whereas I think if in the behaviours I had, which was really sort of standing my ground about something I passionately believed in, if I was a man, I know I would have been called assertive.
Yes.
Yeah. But, you know, I've been called bossy and controlling, and it's almost like a put down, yes, as opposed to the kind of language that you would use or that you would hear used for, mm-hmm, men that were using the same sort of behaviours. I don't know whether you've noticed that in terms of how that has an impact on almost trying to stop women from using assertive traits historically.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's true. And what tends to happen with women is either they're at the passive end of assertion. So, if I take this into a bit of a psychological model, depending on the sub-personalities. So if a woman has got a lot of please others, you know, she likes to please people. And that's a cultural thing. You know, lots of us in our families grow up with, you know, we should be supportive. Also, if we look at archetypes, if a woman has a strong mother archetype or mother energy, what that means is they want to look after others, make sure everybody else is okay, you know, make sure people are surviving. It's also quite a sacrificial archetype, that one. So women have a tendency to want to look after others. Now at the other end, we've got, if we look at the archetype of warrioress, and that's exactly what it says, you know, that's somebody who's got a passion, who's got a goal, who's going to go for it and is going to be fierce, you know, and that's an archetype that's also available to us as women. But when women come out of that, you're absolutely right, if they're coming out of that warrioress energy, or if they're coming out of another archetype, queen, which is really looking after the realm and having that position of power and authority, that can be seen as very threatening by men particularly. And I do think that as women, we need to understand this more and not allow ourselves to become infected and to go into what I call the negative sets of paradigms. And that's that superwoman, or what it drives us into. Now, I don't like these words, but the terms that are used is martyr. So we end up burning out as a martyr, or we become that kind of bitch energy, you know, and we're out there, we're just being unpleasant. You know, we take that energy home to our families and we're just Mrs. Pushy Unpleasant. And what we want to be doing really is making sure that women are not operating from the dark side of these, you know, paradigms, but in fact are coming from their authentic, positive archetypes and power. And I have to say, Lily, I've had the privilege of working with you now for a few years. And you have a very strong queen energy, which means and quite a powerful warrioress. You're very passionate about what you do. And I'm actually really, really proud to be working with you. And you've been a great role model for me. So let go of those, you know, discussions about whether you're being bossy or whether you're
Totally. It's the life limiting scripts that many of us
totally. But as women, as women, unfortunately, when we hear that, we're more likely then to take that in. And again, that's one of the things I think we've got a job on, which is to help women inoculate themselves against that.
Yeah, I think that, I love that word, inoculate, actually. And I think this is one of the things I've loved about us working together on strategic leaders and other executive coaching programs. And I see it in Step Into Management. It's lovely to see women coming through Step Into Management, working as managers and now moving into the director's seat. What would you say, Elizabeth, what would be your top three tips that could help women who have possibly been held back by what other people have called them, other people's scripts for them? Mm-hmm. How can they get out of that negative realm and truly be who they want to be? Because I see some amazing leaders emerging, but you also sometimes see that self-consciousness and that fragility about, am I good enough? As you say, almost the imposter syndrome that we sometimes experience. What would be your top two or three tips to help women to move through from that negative place into that positive place of empowerment?
I think one of the things that I learned through NLP was definitely working with our beliefs. And I think our beliefs are part of our unconscious blueprint. So we don't tend to think about them consciously, but it's really, really powerful to do some work. And I think it's important sometimes for women to do some individual coaching in order to really unearth what is it I believe to be true about myself or about these contexts and situations. So often women will be operating limiting beliefs about themselves and what they believe is possible for them. And those could be their own beliefs, so they could have been given to them by parents, teachers, you know, growing up. Their belief about what society thinks is okay or not okay. So beliefs is a really powerful area. The other area is values. You know, values are what's important to us. And when we start to consciously dig into our values and what matters to us in life, that gives us an opportunity then to really re-engage with what we're motivated to do and what we're passionate about. And that helps us when we reach those difficulties to know this is important and I'm going to push through. Maybe another area would be boundary conversations, if you know what I mean by that. Because quite often we do not hold boundaries if we're trying to be everything to everybody, you know, and women, I mean, there's a recent government white paper being produced, but women tend to be not only, you know, operating in the workplace, but are often still primarily looking after children at home. They're in relationships, they have often elderly parents depending on their own age and dynamic. And so I think it's really important that we help women work on what I call overwhelm. Because it's very, very easy to have all of that, you know, for us really quickly to reach a point of overwhelm. So again, being able to step back, look at all these areas, and then have more successful strategies going forward, not in the superwoman style. Because at the start of this particular situation, one of the webinars that we put together in Morgan James was the Leading Through Adversity. And one of the things that I think we put up as a slide on that one was put your own oxygen mask on first.
Absolutely. And actually, don't you see women predominantly, like I know all through COVID-19, the amount of women that I've seen, and they've been the ones that have been holding down the job whilst doing the homeschooling, whilst running the home.
Absolutely.
And I'm not saying that men haven't, because we have some phenomenal men that we're able to work with. But I've seen certainly there be an imbalance in the carrying of that load, and like you say, some women not even putting their oxygen mask on. They don't even get on their to-do list, you know.
And so for me, one of the programs I've just gone through recently, one called Replenish, was really good for me to sort of reconnect with that and to notice that. What do we need to do? But because actually, when we are very passionate about what we do, if we're running businesses, leading businesses, you know, we want to keep putting all our life force energy into that. But actually, that in itself will lead to burnout as well as overwhelm. So I think it's about coming back and then really making sure that we're replenishing. And I think as women, sometimes we almost need some other women to give us permission to do that.
Waiting for
permission to say that it's okay. And particularly if our mother archetype is strong, and that's not about having children, but you know, if we have that strong sense of we must keep serving others, then we're much more likely to end up in burnout. And so I do think it's important. And I think for women as well, we tend to assume it's just us, you know, that's having these thoughts, these difficulties. And so I think for women, if they form networks, it's really, really powerful. One that I've belonged to is Women in Nuclear. And, you know, through that, we've been starting to get discussions going around diversity, inclusion, but we can also, you know, talk about menopause, for example. And, you know, the fact
The forbidden word in front of other men.
The fact that we are hormonal beings and that, you know, these things can impact us. You know, 2 years ago, I was invited to go down to the Houses of Parliament on International Women's Day and was asked to do a session on negotiation skills, you know, run it two in the afternoon. And it was interesting for me because as I put that session together and then going and running it, and at about 40, 50 women come to those sessions, it really struck me as well that, you know, in these areas, negotiation, at the beginning I said, you know, who here's a great negotiator? Not a hand went up. You know, a few very senior women admitted that they might have, you know, multi-million pound contracts that they looked after, but they weren't sure they were a great negotiator. If that had been a room full of men, Lily, the hands, you know, three quarters of the hands would have been up. They'd have looked at each other and thought, well, if he's good, I'm brilliant, you know. And kind of what that brought home to me really was that we need to work with women really early as they enter their careers. I've done quite a bit of work in the past with graduate groups, and I see already a huge difference in the mindset of the young male graduates and the young female graduates. I'm generalizing here, but we need to catch women early as they come into their careers to help them see the journey ahead, and you know, and understand it's okay to negotiate and negotiate hard. Women will negotiate on behalf of others, but they don't tend to negotiate on behalf of themselves, for example. And it's one of these things that's the root of the pay differentials that build up. But if we don't teach women about that, then the, you know, those things, it's like groundhog, those mistakes will continue to be made. And so for me, I'm quite keen that if we could work with women at all ages, because even in your 20s entering the world of work, you can be a leader. So I also want to change what we think about leadership. Leadership isn't, you know, you're in the senior management team. You can be a leader in any job role.
Any situation. Yeah.
In any situation. And I think if we can really work with people sort of psychologically to get them to realise that, then they will, you know, transform themselves and the workplace.
Elizabeth, I am so looking forward to carrying on these conversations. I could talk to you for hours over this now, and I love it. I think when we finally get together for a glass of wine, I think yes. we will continue this debate and discussion. But I'm really looking forward to the work that we do on strategic leaders. I love your energy. I love your continuous passion for learning and development and sharing your thoughts and sharing your ideas and giving people space to explore who they are. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the exciting things about strategic leaders. It's never a one size fits all. It is that let's work with you, the material that we have here, the individual that we have here, the history that we have here, the experience that we have, and let's create the conditions for you to be your most brilliant self. And I just want to thank you for the phenomenal work you do, and I'm looking forward to us continuing together for hopefully many years to come.
Thank you, Lily. It's great.
Lovely
looking
to see you.
To that glass of wine as well.
Take care. It won't be long.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye-bye.